This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, hour number two. I'm your host, Captain Mickey Eastman, Chris Jones producing, and we have Captain Sharky Marquez in with us and Captain Nalum Jeff Naylor.
Hey, babe.
We're here. Oh, yeah. Little treat on the weekend through the show, but next break I'll show you how to make that coffee in there and that Keurig.
That'd be great.
I saw you do it. And it didn't look right. We'll get it going. I'll get you coffeed up here in a minute.
Hey, good thing he's better at fishing than making
coffee. I was
going
to say, at least I'm good at fishing, right?
Well, he's used to being the captain. He's probably got a deckhand that makes his coffee for him.
Every day.
You're going to get a whole mess of
kicking. It's all good.
Tell me what makes a good deckhand. Keep me organized and fed. The rest of it I'll take care of.
That's right. Can't operate the boat properly unless
you're
taken care of.
I'll drive us to the fish. I will put us on the fish. You're going to keep us clean, organized.
That's it.
And we had one guy text. He's the one that was asking about the surf earlier, but his second question was, what's the technique for you catching ballyhoo for bait?
Wow, that's
how
a good question.
That?
So, you know, I learned that technique from an older gentleman that was down at the dock one day. You know, he told me, and I think, man, this guy, where is he, you know? But cast netting is a real good way. Basically, you know, the most success I've had catching ballyhoos right there in that water change. So if that current's going across the end of that jetty right there and you got a little brackish water mixed with a little of that green, clear water, they'll sit right there along that shelf and they'll just kind of run back and forth and they kind of make it back to the rocks and they'll stay around the rocks. I since have heard another technique that the guys who fish at night out there will take the little crab nets, you know, the one that had the little ring around them with the net that drops, you know, and
you could pull it up.
Yeah, and what they'll do is they'll take a little ring on float, put a couple floaties on the top ring, put a little loop or a wire on the top, and put a small little light on it.
And they let it float around.
Okay.
Exactly.
Cool.
And they let it float around, and as soon as they get in there, they swap them up, you know.
Yeah.
And,
interesting.
I've never done that one. The cast netting I've done, and it's tricky to catch those suckers. They're fast.
Yeah,
they're mixed in with the needlefish, right?
Yeah.
And the needlefish don't do the same. It's not. You have to have the ballyhoo, in my experience.
Right.
You know. So.
Speaking of the needlefish, boy, I'll tell you, those fish over at Sabine Lake, in like August and September, they'd get on those needle gar pattern and start eating them.
Oh yeah.
The trout would. They stink so bad. Yeah. You are what you eat. I wouldn't even fillet a trout and eat it over there. They just tasted foul from feeding on needle gar all the time.
Yeah,
you know how bad a needle gar stinks?
Oh, yeah.
It's nasty.
Absolutely.
Any gar. Man, those gar.
That was one good question there. So let's go to, let's see, who's up here next? I got to pick the soonest one. Look at this. Its screen is full.
That's good.
All right. Have any of you heard that the Laguna Madre in Cameron County is closed due to all fishing due to the coronavirus quarantine? No, the Laguna Madre is not closed. And I know there's some ramps in Cameron County and Clayburg County in that area that are closed. But as far as fishing, no. Now, I know they've been closing the beach down on weekends at Corpus because the crowds are too big. And the jetties are on like a neck bone out there, too. And everybody's parking their car and walking like a mile with the beach closed to get to the jetties to fish off of them.
I mean, they're on fire right now, but
I know the harbor in Mansfield, they closed it down.
Yeah.
I saw that yesterday.
Mark Holland sent me a picture. I saw on his Facebook the other day that Matagorda, that main ramp
is
closed down too.
That ramp's closed, the harbor, the cleaning table, and the ramp. But now the store's open, the harbor bait and tackle.
Gotcha. That's good
you can still pull in there and get fuel and ice and bait and all that.
That's how it is though, at the yacht basin.
At the yacht basin, same way. You can still go in there by boat and get your amenities.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Okay. But hopefully we get this corona junk out of the way, man. Did you think we'd ever see anything like this?
Never.
I've been around
like
a while.
Living in a movie.
You know, we've been through a lot of hurricanes. I tell you what, that boat ramp has never closed. I mean, as far as I've seen, you know, pretty wild.
Here's one. What is the most abrasion-resistant fluorocarbon y'all have used?
Jeff, you go first, and then I'm going to answer. I'm trying to make sure I got the right name.
So you don't use much fluorocarbon offshore, do you?
We do. As a matter of fact, tuna chunking. We use a lot of it.
What pound?
So that's a good question. 60 is what 60, we try to get away with.
Yeah.
Or excuse me.
Get
80
away
is what
with,
we try
yeah.
to get away with. 60 we end up trying to, you know, eventually go into. But
they're real finicky.
Yozuri, I think, is a really
Yozuri's
good one,
great.
Right?
Right.
You know, seems to last a little longer. But at the end of the day, I mean, fluorocarbon, you know.
Yeah, it's softer, and it's naturally going to nick up a lot easier.
Right.
But The new resins they have for these fluorocarbons, I've been using that Seaguar Gold label, the new Gold label.
That's what I was going to say.
18% stronger and 17% thinner.
Wow.
Seaguar makes a mean.
And I'll tell you, the only
that's not cheap.
No. You're going to pay for that.
You're going to pay for it. Yeah, you're going to pay for it.
That's the only difference I'll say in between Seaguar and the Yozuri. The Seaguar seemed to be easier to tie, a little bit more.
It cinches down better.
Yeah.
You can cinch a knot with it a lot better. It ties tight, and the knot won't break with it.
Yep, no, it's tight. And that Yozuri, sometimes if you don't get it just right, it will slip on you. That's for sure.
Here's another one. Could you explain how I can see the show this morning on my iPhone?
Sure. So check it out. Hop on Facebook and type in Michael Sharkey Marquez, and you're going to hit that page right there. We're live streaming. You can also check us out. I've shared it with all the local fishing pages, everywhere from Galveston Fishing page all the way to the Early Morning Sicko page. You can tune in and check us out and drop a comment. We're reading kind of from both here and answering questions and giving away a free rod.
Wow.
So like the video, share the video, tag three friends, and we're going to give away a brand new Castaway rod right here at the end of the show to somebody who's followed those steps. So,
all right, Charlie and Lake Jackson just sent me a text. What is the best way to rig a ballyhoo to catch big trout, and what is the best size to use? Now, I've never fished. You know me, I don't fish with bait.
You throwing like kale
trout.
Hooks?
You know what? To be honest with you, I always go through the bottom, right at the base of the beak, up through the top of that lip, right?
Okay.
That seems to be the what I've always done. Is it the right way? I don't know.
You know,
I whim it pretty much, you know. But
well, you know, and trout always swallow bait's head first anyway.
Right. Yeah. Now, a small hook, you're going to fish
small
with just
hook.
Like you do a shrimp, right?
Small
He's going
to
see that hook even in a big ballyhoo.
Sure.
So, you know, small.
Size
small
8
yeah,
to 10
at least.
Treble.
What,
I mean,
in a treble? 8 to 10 treble?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Right through the top of the.
Plus, it's a lighter hook, and if you're using the ballyhoo live, it's able to
swim a bit,
just like with shrimp on the jetties, you know.
Absolutely.
When you're free shrimping with split shot and all that.
You know, the biggest surprise of people who have any kind of knowledge about fishing when they hop on the boat and we're looking for big trophy trout, you know, jetty fishing.
They look at that little bitty hook.
They look at that hook and say, "What the heck are we going to catch with that?" But I will tell you that increased our success on our trout trips tremendously, going from a size 4 to 6 to an 8 to 10.
Yeah.
That's all we used to throw out there when we'd go fish the jetties out of the boat in the early spring when those big gator trout would start showing up.
Sure.
We'd get the biggest, you know, hoppers we could and use an 8 or 10 treble hook it right under the horn, and you could cast it a mile, you know, because of the weight of the shrimp. And it depended on the current, whether how many split shots you'd have on there.
Yeah.
Look like little boogers on your leader. But depending on where the fish wanted it, too.
Looks like a daggum Christmas tree ornament by the time you're done with it.
Then you're fighting one of those, and one of them slings off and hits you in the head. That hurts. like you got shot with a 22.
Oh, Bubba.
Bring back the airsoft BB, you know.
I'm telling you.
Wow. Shoot.
Yeah, that's it, man. So just as natural as he can be on the end of that hook. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's a shrimp, ballyhoo, or a croaker.
That's the key.
Right?
When you're trout fishing, as natural as you can get that bait to look in the water, you got to think he's got 100 other options down there.
Yeah.
What's going to set your bait apart? Especially that trophy trout that feeds once or twice a day.
Sure.
Yeah.
You better have it right.
Yeah.
That's it.
And you better have it right.
And we go through that in the bay when those big trout are eating mullet and they get a big mullet in them. They may go 3, 4, or 5 days before they ever eat again.
Yep.
They'll hang on and they'll digest all they can get out of that bait fish, you know, that one mullet.
Yeah.
And then they'll pick it up and get ready for some fresh meat.
That's it.
And hopefully my lure's in front of him.
So, I mean, in your opinion, Mickey, you know, even are you getting a bunch of reaction bites from a big trout with that lure? Or, you know, in other words, if he was full already, you think he would react and bite still?
You know, I caught a trout one time that had a 12-inch trout, speckled trout in his belly, and he still ate a shrimp tail.
Wow.
A hoagie, root beer glitter shrimp tail. Still ate
the answer.
Still had to have that little snack.
Yeah.
But he had just swallowed that mullet, I'm sure, because I could see the tail out of the throat, and it looked like it was wiggling.
Wow.
You know, with his mouth open, and you could see it coming out of his gullet. But he was still amped up. I think it's more of the mood they're in. Mm. When they get on that real hard bite, they're all amped up. Even though their bellies are full, they're going to keep eating, man.
Yeah.
Because the rest of the school's doing it, too. It's just a frenzy, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of like sharks do.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that shark.
They may not be hungry, but they're still eating, man.
That's right. That's right. You know, why you keep that one mahi floating around you, because the rest of them, see, hear me, they want in on that, too, you know.
That was my favorite part about Jaws, when they cut that tiger shark open.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like I said, it came from southern waters. Louisiana Lassen played in it.
Yeah, southern waters.
Yeah, tiger sharks are garbage disposals. Yeah, they'll eat anything. Real quick, no, we got to take a commercial break. We'll answer this next text when we get back. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on a Saturday morning. It is 520 here in the Bayou City. And getting back to all these conversations we got going, we're all over the place with offshore, trout, jetties. I mean, we're covering it all this morning. A lot of fun. I'm enjoying this.
Heck yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Oh, definitely.
It's good to have company in here, man.
That's it. It's good to be. It's going to be for a while. Or
I can take a breath or a sip of coffee every now and then now, you know?
Man, ain't nothing wrong with that.
Heck
living
yeah.
Living your dream.
You're on your fourth cup, third cup?
No, that's I had one to start out, and I've been carrying that for about 8 years. It holds two cups, and then it keeps it hot, and I'll just pop that open and pour it into my cup.
Nice.
Little warm up there.
I see you refreshing here and here.
Yeah,
definitely.
It just keeps it warm. But here's one text. Morning, guys. This is from an early morning sicko. He said he's had enough of this virus stuff, and he said the good old U.S. of A. will beat this thing and be stronger for it. It's all good, and enjoy your day.
Well, we appreciate that.
Yeah, he's enjoying listening to us
thank
and everything.
Guys.
And we got them lined up. You got any questions on yours you need to answer?
Let me check it out. We could talk about, man, there's a lot of great comments. Explain the knocker rig. We can get into that later. And, you know, what you want to talk about that or what you want to talk about?
We'll answer these real quick
let's
and go
those.
To it because we got a few minutes here before the next break.
Sure.
Said, hey, Mickey, what is your favorite artificial for fishing over super shallow oyster? Only thing that I can manage not to snag is a topwater on that shell. And it, you know, that all comes with presentation and all that.
Yep.
You know, keeping that rod up high, and I don't know what's super shallow, what he's talking about, whether it's 6 inches of water. Of course, I wouldn't be throwing over oyster in 6 inches of water. But say a foot and a half, that's what I would call real shallow for us up here, foot and a half, 2 foot over oyster. And I can... you know, tone it down and go to like a real light, a 16th-ounce jig head, and use your boom-type soft plastic bait that you can work under the surface. Just keep your rod tip up high and stay on the real handle, and then just jig it across that shell. And you can feel that tail kind of tick that shell, knowing that you might want to speed it up just a little, or just take and do just a straight retrieve over the top of that with your rod up, just
really slow. Because
when you're jigging it, you're making that lure come up and fall down real quick and real erratic. Steady retrieve, you can work it over that without hanging up.
Sure.
And, you know, there's other baits you can go to, like that broken back I was showing you earlier. You can take it under if the trout don't want a surface plug and get it down, and they'll actually eat that under the surface. And, you know, a lily will do the same thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You got to fish it out, you know.
Yeah.
It's every day it's different.
Especially when you know there's fish there. I mean,
next day you go in there, they'll be smothering topwaters,
yep.
You know.
Yep.
Just and fish are finicky.
Yeah.
Says, what do you recommend for a general purpose spinning setup for bay fishing East Galveston Bay?
So we got one actually.
Yeah,
sitting
pound,
right here
pound line as well. Yeah, if you're fishing for trout and, you know, redfish, sure. It, you want to use braid on a spinning rod.
Yeah, braid
no
is
doubt.
Good.
Braid, I guarantee you, it was made just for spinning rods. Don't even waste your time with mono on spinning rods. Go to straight braid, man.
That's right. And 20, you know, if you're in the bay and you're trout, redfish, flounder, throwing a lot of artificials, doing a lot of casting, 20-pound is probably spot
plenty
on.
Plenty adequate, man.
If you're fishing heavy structure and you know, you might hook a bull red or might hook a big jack or something crazy, and more like jetty style, you know, we'll throw 30-pound on all of ours.
Yeah, that's it.
And so
y'all fish with a good leader at the end of it.
Yeah, leader,
no doubt.
What's your length preference? I mean, on,
it's
on
like
that
you can see on my rod here, like I've got this Little John on.
Yeah,
it's,
he's got a good two.
Now that's about foot. A foot and a half.
Foot and a half.
Yeah,
so I see you got split.
I use a barrel swivel, you know, because I've got monofilament line on there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do. That barrel swivel will tell you, see how limp that line still is? And it's been on my rod for, I don't know, 4 weeks now.
Yeah.
There's no line twist. See how limp it hangs? That's Berkeley Sensation. And that's a little number, maybe a 12 barrel swivel.
Yep.
It's about 30-pound test.
Yeah, 25, 30
and
pounds.
That's all I need for trout and reds.
Sure. Absolutely.
And then I use, see that little clip? You can get them, Sampo makes them, Eagle Claw. It doesn't have a swivel on it. And I'll tie an improved clinch knot down to that.
Sure.
And what that does, see how that bait, it's easy to, it just, it's like tying a loop knot. But what I can do real quick, instead of having to whittle my leader down, is I can open that clip, take that bait off, and put a corky or something on it.
Fast.
And keep fishing.
Oh, yeah.
Fast.
And change it out. But it lets that bait, you know, you can just walk it all over the place. It gives a more natural presentation hanging in that clip like that.
Sure.
But see, that leader's probably about a foot and a half. 12, 14, 15 inches or so. I don't know. It's even got a few teeth marks in it down low. I need to retie it one of these days. I ain't been on enough fish here lately to break that line.
Yep.
But that works good for me.
Yeah.
You don't want to make your leader too long because, you know, you can't really swivel up into your tip and you'll be hitting yourself in the back of the head.
Yeah.
I always keep it from there. Sometimes I'll use a foot. It just depends. I had that leader that long for Baffin Bay down there just in case one of them big Susies wants to jump on there.
Sure, that's right.
Sure.
You do the same thing with braid.
Braid, yeah. I'll tie just a blood knot or a surgeon's knot connecting the braid to the.
See, you can see right there.
Just like he's done there.
I've got a double U. I think that's a double uni on there. And
it doesn't have a swivel on it either.
And as far as size, like 3,500 for a spinning reel is pretty ideal. You know, even if you're primarily trout fishing and you want to go lightweight, if you're artificial throwing, a 2500 is great too. It's going to be a lot more light on the wrist. You can work that artificial a lot.
Yep.
For us, we're using 3500s to 4500s because we're fishing those jetties, and you know, we'll catch anywhere from a 6 pound 7 pound trout to a 40-50 pound jack, and
that's
so
right,
that's it.
Got to have the line capacity. So
absolutely,
the old knocker rig, and that enables you to get down in them rocks.
The
if you get
knocker
hung up,
rig,
it'll take it off.
Knocker
you'll another from Bond. Here's a text: Wahoo is on my bucket list.
Hmm.
When is the best time to go?
Wintertime, Wahoo.
Wintertime.
So wintertime.
You know this. I can't attest to this, but what I've been told is Texas has the biggest migration of Wahoo in the world. So
really,
yeah, that's what they've been. That's what they told me.
Now, those come from Louisiana that way. When Venice gets real hot, all our Wahoo fishing goes through the roof, too.
And
what does that come from, the east?
Yeah,
that
it comes
migration?
From Florida. Starts at the, basically at the you know, into Florida, you start looking at their reports and stuff like that and kind of judge when they're going to be down your way.
Yeah.
Flower gardens is a really hot.
Yeah, yeah, buddy.
You know that. You know, I've been here for
years. The
garden
banks.
That's it.
Don't tell nobody.
Yeah, that's don't, it. Yeah, don't tell nobody they're at the gardens.
Exactly. I was out there a couple weeks ago. Believe me, a lot of people know.
You're not the only one.
Yeah.
Earlier, Charlie from Lake Jackson asked you about the, you know, rigging a ballyhoo and all that. Will they eat a dead ballyhoo, the trout? I know for a fact because I got my butt spooled in a tournament. The guy that beat us was using cut ballyhoo.
Cut ballyhoo.
Yeah.
Unreal.
On the bottom, like dead bait on the bottom. He smoked them.
And I bet I would go ahead and bet to say he was fishing under an underpass, you said, right? Or under a bridge. I don't know where you said he was fishing, but I would assume that there'd be a lot of current and a lot of water movement to get a trout to hit a dead, stagnant bait.
Yeah.
There has to be a lot of water movement.
Yeah, I think it along goes that is that you still want a live bait. If you can get a live ballyhoo, in other words, you don't want to go buy frozen ballyhoo and think you're going to catch state or something.
Sure.
Like, I listen to Ballyhoo, I've been fishing for 4 days.
Don't take that out on us. Yeah.
You know, and a guy mentioned about the, said we mentioned the barrel swivel. I guess he didn't hear what size I said, a 10 or a 12.
Oh, barrel swivel.
Yeah, that's the size.
It's a 30-pound, isn't it?
Yeah,
25-30-pound barrel swivel.
25-30-pound barrel swivel. Use a black if you can, because once the Spanish mackerel and stuff like that get into the bay, they go for that silver barrel swivel big time.
Yeah.
That reflection, that shine, boy, they jump all over. They'll cut your line. They'll cut everything
off.
I hate those nasty things.
Like mackerel fishing.
They're fun to catch. They are a nightmare, though, if you're wade fishing and with a topwater.
Oh, nightmare.
I mean,
you're gonna lose
don't get them up on your green, because you're going to end up with a face full of hooks or a chest full, especially on the top water. They are nasty at times. They're kind of like a skipjack. They're just a psycho fish, man.
They go nuts.
They really do.
Skipjack, speaking of skipjack, that's some good bait, buddy.
Well, they're starting to show up big time in South Texas, so you
that
boys
means
hang,
moving down.
Y'all hang on. They're coming.
That's some
They'll
good
be
bait.
Here shortly.
So redfish, everything on freaking skipjack.
Oh, yeah. They say the redfish love cut skipjack down south.
My best day is catching slot reds.
Really?
I'm using the knocker rig with a slide.
Knocker rig with cut skippy.
With cut skippy, baby.
Can't wait to get on that one.
Yeah.
Good morning. And welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Saturday morning. It's 533, or actually 534 here in the Bayou City. And got Captain Michael Sharkey Marquez and Captain Jeff Nalem Naylor. They're actually autographing a rod right now that Sharkey's going to be giving away at the end of the show to a lucky Facebooker that's live feeding this morning. What is it for the most shares, Sharkey?
Yeah, so share it, tag three friends.
Tag them and share them, baby.
Tag them and share them. We're giving away an all-new Croker Smoker. It's an inshore series rod. Captain Mickey himself has signed the foregrip. That way, so when you're hooked up to that monster fish, you can look down and know you're in good hands. I'm
going
to sign the butt.
In good hands, baby.
I won't tell you why I'm signing the butt area.
Yeah, cause boy, they can bury it. They'll just, but
no reason in particular.
But that'll all go over good. An inshore smoker.
Oh, and castaway rod, too.
Fire glow orange. You can see that bending 5 miles away.
You bet.
You ain't kidding.
Plus, you can catch some big stuff with that from small fish to big fish. What is the line weight on there? 10 to 17 pounds?
Yep, that's correct.
10 to 17. Lure weight, 1/4 ounce to 3/4 ounce, and it's 7 feet long. Castaway rods is the evolution of fishing. All right. Getting back to our texters. We got them going on this morning.
Good deal.
Says, morning, guys. Billy Smith here.
Hey, that's my buddy from way back when.
Cool. So for the last couple of years when I wade in the surf in the summertime, I've noticed a heavy knocking at my feet over and over again. Knocking, huh? Like someone was stomping really hard next to me. You heard of this before?
Air pockets?
I'm on the boat. Same thing.
That's insane.
And I bet that's what he was feeling.
Yeah. Even in the surf, too. Same thing.
Yeah. Same thing. Got to be.
Wow.
He'd have to be standing in them.
Good question. Go.
All right, let's see what we got here. Let's get some more. Have seen some big trout caught on cut skipjack, Ralph at Chinkapin. Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure
it's
of that.
The shine, right? It's a reaction strike.
Yeah.
And you know what? We've caught while red fishing for slot redfish. We caught big trout off cut skipjack as well.
Sure.
Wow. Right there at the jetties. The water clarity's right. You got good water movement. Yeah. I think that's the key. If you're going to have a bait that doesn't look real natural in the water, you got to have that water moving. Yeah. And that way that fish is just, you know, he's predatory mode, right?
Yeah.
If it's stagnant, buddy, you better be throwing something that is super natural.
Yeah.
And super alive.
Yeah.
So.
Got another one here. Great show. Love the format. Mike in Lake Jackson. Well,
thanks, Mike.
Thanks for listening, Mike. Appreciate you. Here's another question.
That's a doozy.
I finally talked my wife into wade fishing with me over the last year over the South Jetty. And before she went, she bought a shark repellent bracelet. Hmm. Never heard of that. And he said, have you heard of these? If so, what's the story? She spent like $100 for this thing. Boy, I'm fixing to get in the market on those.
Hey, are they looking for investors?
Yeah. $100 for a shark repellent bracelet.
Did you see the stingray repellent at the fishing show?
I heard about it. Somebody was talking about it back there at the show desk.
They were
is that for real, too?
They were selling three for like $100.
Jeff, hand me one of those. Here's my stingray repellent.
Well, you dag them right.
Can't go wrong with that.
This is the best stingray boot I found yet.
Really?
It is really. Y'all like that.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, lightweight's the most important thing, right? Oh, yeah. That's money.
That's nice. You got to be able to walk and shuffle and fish. Yeah. And
Bart's Bay Armor.
Nice. So they don't get, that neoprene that soak up that water nearly as bad when you get out.
Not bad at all. And this fabric here, you can't ram a knife through it, anything.
Oh, yeah.
And even over the vinyl-like overlay over this fabric.
Yeah.
And it's got a great zipper on it. They zip up real easy. Oh, yeah. I've only worn them once. They still look pretty clean.
That is nice.
They don't smell bad.
I was wondering what that smell was when I walked up in here. I don't know.
I dried them out properly, but no wear on the bottom. And I waded over some shell that day with them, so I think they're going to hold up real nice.
Yeah,
I'm real impressed. That was a new product at the fishing show this year.
Yeah, no, I saw that.
So I sprung.
Yeah, I don't know if they're worth it, but the guy at the show that was selling these stingray repellents, man, he had a whole list
now,
of science behind it. You know, I guess it's putting off some magnetic something that they don't like. He even had videos.
So it's putting a noise in the water?
Well, I don't even think those two things were attached. You know, it was like two magnets.
Oh, okay.
And he said that it sends out something that they don't like. He had videos of dropping it in the water, and those stingrays.
Well, what will that do to the fish? A stingray is a fish.
Well, you ain't kidding. I ain't fishing with one.
I mean, if it scares a stingray off, what about your trout and redfish, you know?
I don't know.
That's a good question. I hope he's got some videos to prove that.
Yeah, I ain't going to find out, I'll tell you that.
Trout and reds have these otoliths in their head, and they're like radar sensors, you know, that comes off their lateral lines.
Yeah.
And, that would, I don't know about that one. I'll just stick with the boots.
How about the old trick of shuffling your
stealth
feet when you're walking out there?
Oh, yeah.
That's the first thing I remember my dad.
Always slide your feet.
Yeah, always.
Never walk in behind someone either.
Really?
If somebody's waiting with you, what they do is they'll start feeding your stern up all these little crustaceans and everything out of the mud on the bottom, and those stingray are tailing in that mud, picking up those little grass shrimp or whatever you stirred up and feeding on that. And if you're walking in behind your buddy, well, he's in your buddy's mud trail, and you're going to step on him. Most people end up getting stuck by when they set the hook and step back.
Right.
They'll put their heel on one, and they'll get it right in the back of the calf every time.
So tell me, what's the first thing you do when you're wade fishing with your buddy? You're like 15, 16 wade fishing.
Spread apart.
But what I would do is I'd send him out in the front, and I'd be right behind him, you know? And now I'm learning, man, that was a bad move.
That's like the old snake theory, man. You know, when you're walking down a trail, the first guy steps on a snake, makes him mad. The second guy gets bit, and the third guy kills it.
Oh, wow.
Oh. Well,
so,
I got three friends here. Y'all want to go wade fishing tomorrow?
Hey,
I'll be in the back.
If I'm wading, I'd rather be the lead bird myself.
That's it, you know. I mean, what about, you know, we're out, you know, wade fishing and surf a lot. And, you know, you see that shark kind of cruising along, you know. And me, hey, I keep that string good and far away, right? Yeah. I mean, you know. I got to watch out for all these predators. I mean, everybody's trying to kill you or stick you or something, right? I mean.
That's it. I mean, and, hey, I've been in the water all my life.
Yeah.
Since I was a little kid, and I used to be really afraid when I'd wade behind my dad, well, I'd stay to the side of him. He told me never wade right directly behind me. But we'd wade down by the pass. You know, we had a bay house there at Bay Harbor. And, man, those stingrays, they'll be following you. When you're a little kid, 5 and 6 years old, you're just a nervous wreck.
Yeah. It'll spook you.
And, and when that big shark fin comes up out there and it's sticking out of the water about that far and you look back about 6 or 8 feet and there's a tail fin sticking up, it's a big one. And my dad said, just back up real slow. And let's go. Let's just back in real shallow and he'll feed through and go on.
Yeah.
And they would.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. As many predators there is in the water and the thousands and hundreds of thousands of people enter the water every year.
Sure.
I mean, shark bites are minimal.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, seriously. I mean, if they ate people, there wouldn't be anybody left. Yeah. Galveston, the beachfront, is really loaded with sharks.
Yeah. What I'm saying is people freaking out about a coronavirus, but there's 1,000 of them swimming off the beachfront around all these big old sharks. I mean, that's a little touchy. I probably shouldn't have gone there on live radio, but.
Stay sanitized.
If y'all are freaking out about that.
Here's another new one.
200 pounders out there.
What's the most memorable trip each of you have ever had? Vernon.
Wow.
That's a doozy.
That is a doozy.
That's
go first, Sharky.
Yeah.
Go first? Man, probably when I was like 11, 12 years old, you know, we were we would always rent this beach house down in Jamaica Beach, me and my family, and we would fish and you know, me and my dad were wade fishing. I'd always catch piggy perch the night before in the light. We'd keep them alive and go wade fishing. And that next morning we woke up. The conditions were primo, man. And I just remember being super young out there. And we kind of got into a little bit of a scare. He stepped off into some trench and was getting sucked under. And I went to get him and I fell in. And it was just a crazy disarray. But that morning we had smoked some of the biggest trout. Wow. You know, but what we do, that's such a blessing to be able to get out on the water each and every day. And we make memories, so many daggum memories being a guide.
Yeah. Yep.
It's unreal.
Absolutely.
It's every day is a new journey and crazy memory. And it's just a blessing to be able to get out there and do what we love to do, man.
Yeah.
It's hard to pinpoint one memory.
It really is. It's hard to say.
It is.
I like overnight tuna fishing with you.
Oh,
that was that's one of my best memories, you know? I mean, shoot.
Yeah.
An overnighter, an old mother guff.
You know, this last trip was pretty neat, I tell you that. You know, to catch that blue. So, you know, we set out.
I watched that video you sent of that blue y'all caught in the dark, man.
Yeah.
Cool.
I mean, catching a blue marlin, I mean, that's awesome.
That's pretty legit.
Whether it's daytime or nighttime, it doesn't matter. That's big time.
You ain't kidding. And I'm going to tell you the truth. We caught it during the daytime. We caught it 2 hours before daybreak.
Sunset, yeah.
Yeah. But ended up fighting it for 4.5 hours in the night.
Wow.
So he was at night by the time we finally got him next to the boat and took a picture.
I saw the video and I could see it was a blue marlin. I just couldn't tell how big it was. It was so dark, you know?
Yeah.
We guesstimated it was probably about 350 pounds.
Yeah.
I think it was 115 inches something. And I might have that wrong, so I don't want anybody to quote me.
You're
on
getting
that,
lit up
you know?
On that.
Exactly.
They're doing math right now. That's 349, not 350.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, anytime you catch a blue marlin, it's a good day. You know, that just doesn't happen.
Y'all had a bunch of tuna that night, too, didn't you?
A bunch of tuna. They were skying, going crazy. We couldn't keep them off. Matter of fact, they were more of a nuisance that day than anything else. We wanted to fish for
them. How many yellowfin did y'all catch?
We ended up with 8 or 9. I can't remember, something like that. But, again, you know, we showed up there 3 hours before sunset, and you know, we caught as many as we could find, and then hooked in that blue marlin. Spent the last 2 hours.
That's nuts, man.
That's a new dead guy. So that was pretty monumental. It was neat.
And y'all had a swordfish too, didn't you?
We did. We stuck a swordfish.
Y'all catch that at night or day?
Daytime drop. Yeah. That was on the way out.
Deep water dropping.
Them swordfish,
they like it deep water, man.
Yeah.
We didn't have the luxury of an electric reel catching that swordfish.
Right. Well, so that's the big thing nowadays. So, you know, the electric reel only has so much drag, you know. And so when you get that big girl on, which you got to witness that day, you want to be able to put the pins on her, you know what I mean?
Hours,
and try
buddy.
To get her up.
5 hours.
Five
Was
hours.
It five? I thought it was like six.
Okay, it was. I was being modest. Yeah,
well, he took hours. A nap for 1 hour.
I don't know. You know, he wait. Hey, he starts about and wakes up right at the very end. Hey, how convenient.
Yeah, right.
He did good.
Y'all
though.
See it? Okay, let me hop on that ride real quick. Let me hop on that ride.
Yeah, that was a fun time. That was a good one too.
Yeah,
it really was.
Wow. Well.
We got a ton of people watching. That's great. Thanks for tuning in, everybody, and dropping comments. And
I don't even know what to say about the most memorable trip. I've been doing it so long, I've got dozens of them.
Yeah.
It just, I mean, I'd be, you know, if I said how good one was, I would
be cutting out the others.
Be cutting out the others, you know. It's just
our whole life is a memorable trip.
It is.
One of them.
And, you know, I can still remember people from 35 and 40 years ago, the first time they ever went with me and what we caught. You know, it's amazing that, man,
sticks with you.
Fish info just sticks to the brain.
It does.
It's insane. You know, if you're asking that question, the first thing that popped in my mind, last year we fished the Gulf Coast boat owners tournament out of Florida. And, you know, I'm a deep water guy, right? I spend some time in the bay, don't get me wrong, but, you know, we were over there in Matagorda for 2 days the previous, one whole day and then parcel of the previous day trying to pre-fish that tournament. I didn't know where to go. I mean, we were out there trying to, you know, make something happen, Hail Mary, you know?
Yeah.
For that entire previous day, we didn't catch anything. Let me tell you, Bubba, we probably burned 40 gallons of gas going from one side of that to that bay system to the other. I mean, we didn't catch a single fish. We couldn't even hook an oyster. That's how bad it was. So, you know, come tournament day, we got slacked up. We said, hey, man, it's just going to be a fun day, clearly.
You know?
And I'll be danged if that first cast, we didn't stick a 28 right off the bat.
A 28-inch trout?
A 28-inch trout. And it was one after another. So that tournament was, I believe it was a five-fish tournament, one red and four trout.
Yeah.
Of course, you only keep one over 25.
Right.
So if you don't get that redfish, I mean,
you're out of the hunt. You got to have the red. You got to have it.
Almost. And so we end up winning it with five trout, all of them.
Crazy.
24 and three-quarter inches, and then that one stud, 28.
Wow.
I mean, I probably released six or seven that were right in there, 20.
Amazing.
That 9-pound
range. So where's the coordinates of where you're fishing?
Yeah, from? Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But
here's another text. Thanks again, guys. Great show. Great way to start my day. Carter from Old River.
Awesome. Man, thanks so
there
much.
We go.
Heck
we
yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
So can you think of one, Mickey? One moment in your fishing history? Because I know you got a lot.
Well, we were talking about that stringer.
Well, you know, that you got to throw that one in there, my biggest stringer ever.
Yeah,
you know,
listen to this.
That was in November of 1989.
Wow.
That was actually the fall and winter before the big freeze that year that, boy, it wiped our bay system out. Those fish were in death mode, man.
Wow.
And I had a crew. I didn't know them. It was a first-time deal. And they did wade fish, though. And I said, well, I'm on some good fish in the back East Bay, and we'll go over there and wade. Said, well, look, we got to quit at 1 o'clock straight up because we got to be back in Houston at 4 o'clock for the guy's wedding we're bringing. So I said, that's fine. We'll start out early. So we went out in the dark. Well, they actually put a keg of beer in the back of my boat. They hadn't even been to bed yet.
A keg.
They came straight from that guy's bachelor
riding
party,
jumped
a boat with
back.
Me. We run out of Oyster Bayou at the refuge out of the back, and we drop out there at the wildlife refuge at between the salt cedars and the corner. And I said, I've been catching some pretty good fish in here. And said, really, all we want is one big trout, a shot at a big trout. Well, the first wade, we caught five, and all of them were 8.5 to 9.5 pounds. There was five fish caught.
Nice.
So we go back to the boat, take a break. They drink some beer, eat a snack. And I said, well, man, I'm going to get out. The tide's coming in. And the wind had switched out of the southeast and was blowing into that shoreline, but the water stayed clean. So I started crab walking down there, and one of their buddies got out with me. Well, he sticks another nine. And
unreal.
We were using straight back red fins, chrome and blue. And then I caught like five in a row, and they were all just pigs, like 28 to 30 inchers. And I said, we got them here. And we're yelling at those guys to come down. They stayed in the boat.
Come on.
They stayed in the boat and kept partying. And then their buddy, the guy next to me, he ended up going back. And they said, wipe them out, Captain, but we got to leave at one. So I ended up stringing my 10 really monsters.
Wow.
And actually, we had 17 fish that day between all of us. And the smallest trout was a one guy had like a 6'14", and then everything else was from like 7'12" all the way up to 9'15". Wow. I had a 9'15", a 9'14", and two 9'12" on down to like 8'15" and 8'14".
That's an incredible day.
I mean, I weighed them on certified scales too.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It didn't register as that good a trip with me because the guys I had, they didn't act like they appreciated it.
Yeah.
You know, they were more interested in drinking beer and getting to the wedding, which I understand that. You know, the guy was getting married that day. But they said, we got to go. I said, not before I get a picture of this stringer.
Yeah.
So I had to run all over the bay. I found Plog. He was waiting, and I just pulled in on him, ramboed him, so to speak. Said, hey, dude, you got to take a picture of my stringer. So I got in the water and held him up. And I did a front shot and then over the shoulder or whatever. James took a bunch of pictures, and I said, thank you, bud. I got to go. James was in shock. He goes, my God, I've never seen nothing like that.
That's insane. That is just crazy.
So that 10th string was, what, 98 pounds?
93.
93
yeah.
pounds.
And,
average
it,
weight
it
of 9
bizarre.
Pounds, 3 ounces.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
That'll, you know, I've never even, well, I've come close, but never, you know, I've had 80s and 76s and 75s and all that, you know, but
that's
never
solid.
Anything like that. But it, there's a lot of others that that are probably more memorable to me, you know, big wade fishing trips like that with monster trout. One of them was in the dark when the water's full of green phosphorus.
Oh,
these trout to come up and shake their head and all this lamb
grease. Oh, you can see it going
juice
all
flying
the
everywhere.
Holy
then
cow.
They'd get up by you and sound on the bottom, and you could see every blade of grass and turtle shell on the bottom and all that.
That's cool stuff, you know? Man, when the bioluminescence are.
Yeah.
There you go. That's the word I was looking for. Yep. I couldn't spit it out, but it was pretty cool.
Man, wish I had a picture of that.
And
that's
so good.
We caught some monsters that night. I ended up taking them into the fishing show and putting them in my booth that year. We just took 10 big ones in there.
You know, I didn't see anybody with fish at the fish show. You know,
no, they don't do that anymore.
Uh-uh. Is that
it's inappropriate now.
Inappropriate.
At the boat show, they had fish.
Yeah, but it's
they had tanks, you know, and everything at the boat show.
And really, with the 25-inch one fish over 25 a day now with your trout, I mean, why take a box of mediocre fish in there and show them off? You want to show off, you take nothing but 9 and 10
mediocres.
Pounds in there.
I got you.
That's it, mediocres.
I get a box full of 24s. I'm like, dude, we nailed them.
Hey,
he's like, man, that's pretty mediocre.
No, hey, we used to catch fish like that under the birds back in the day. Yeah. Serious. 5-pounders every cast under the birds. You catch 8.
Man, that's incredible.
You know, just and we've just completely destroyed our resource.
Yeah.
You know, environmentally. Yeah. Well, we don't know. We've got our limit restriction now.
The limit restriction.
But that's going to take 3, 4, or 5 years to really see the repercussions from that.
It's probably a good thing they did it, though.
I mean, do you feel like that fish is coming back?
Well, with all the croaker soaking it goes on with the guides down there, if they hadn't dropped those limits to 5, they wouldn't have nothing
left. No, it'd be wiped out.
I mean, there came a time from Rockport, Port O'Connor, Corpus, all that area, guides had to be drum fishermen.
Wow.
I couldn't even catch trout. That's how bad it got. Everybody was a drum guide. I mean, that's how they had to roll to put people on fish.
That's a good reason to support
and,
your regulations. You know, it's going to be your benefit in the future.
But it's taken quite a while now since the limit reduction. But it's bringing them back. And
the 10
you know,
to 5 too. I mean, who really needs 20 fillets per person? You know, I mean, that's a lot of fish. That's a lot of fish. But I'm sure, you know.
Look where we're at these days. So many people are doing it, and everybody that's doing it knows how to do it.
Yep.
They've been instructed so good coming up from the beginning. Back when we started out, nobody knew anything about fishing. Out of all the fish caught out of the bay every year, only 10% of the fishermen were catching those fish.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Now 90% of the
fish,
90% of them are catching those fish. And
I mean, you're right about that.
And I hear guys, oh, you can't fish out of school with rod and reel. You want to bet? I've done it 1,000,000 times.
Oh, man. You got so many stories.
Keep them 24-inch mediocre trout to yourself.
Yeah, you keep them little penciled out. But no, that was just a good solid fish back in the day. Now everybody's calling the Chronicle.
Yeah.
When they catch 24 or 25 inch trout. Hey, come take my picture.
Yeah.
But you know, times change.
It sure has.
The bar has been lowered. Yeah. I'll just put it like that. It's an easy way to explain it.
True 30s, man. That's why it's such a big deal to catch a.
And you know, and 30 inchers in Galveston Bay are very uncommon. They always have been. Our fish are shorter and fatter here.
Yeah.
That's why they weigh so much in the 28 and 29 inch class. When you catch a true 30 incher here that's really meated up, he'll be a 10 pounder.
Yeah.
Because I've caught a couple of them here, and they were both just over 30 inches, but they were fat as butter balls.
Wow.
And awesome, beautiful fish, man.
Yeah, there's some information for you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.